Professor Peter Lynham.
Yes, trying to solve the mysteries of the Taliban today. I felt it was my obligation to do so. Mm-hmm.
Might as well have a home.
Obligation to you, that I wanted to make clear what was going on. In particular, the Taliban is such a mystery. It's been portrayed as a sort of a black, ominous threat.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that there's a long history to the Taliban, stretching right back to the 1980s. And it's interesting looking into the faces of the people standing in the presidential palace,
mm-hmm.
and imagining that, remember that the name the Taliban is the name for students.
Oh,
this is actually, in a certain way, in origins, a student protest movement.
Okay. And do the Taliban call themselves the Taliban? That's probably a really stupid question.
Yes, they do. Yes,
they do?
Yes.
Okay.
But obviously they're supposed to graduate to some other thing, and they just...
Yeah, they're students of a particular approach to Islam that became very popular in one of the provinces of Afghanistan, one of the northern provinces of Afghanistan, in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, were actually sponsored by the US to oppose the Russian invasion of the Taliban that brought down the Soviet Union in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Are we getting to the point, is the Taliban a cult? Is that kind of what you...
Yeah, the Taliban is a movement within Islam,
mm-hmm.
that stands for a particular interpretation of what Sharia law looks like. And in so doing, it ends up by allying with a number of the other groups, in particular Al-Qaeda, which it's tended to embrace somewhat of the same causes, although not exactly. And so there was a certain amount of Taliban sheltering of the leader of Al-Qaeda before he was captured by the US and Pakistan. When was that, in 2009 or thereabouts? So the Taliban stand for a belief that Islam is being polluted by compromises with the West.
Mm.
Right, yeah.
And that only a pure return to an enforced doctrine of separation from evil, of especially the risk of women being polluted by being exposed to the outside world apart from their husbands, a strong enforcement of the burqa, and a teaching, a way in which they put together the belief that the only way to clean society is to purge it, so that you need to kill off all that is foreign to Islam.
Uh-oh.
All that compromises Islam.
And so it starts getting a little bit sticky. What is it? Is this the most sort of gnarly form of Islam?
Most
around?
Oppressive.
It's.
But outwardly, you know, sort of right.
It most certainly, you know. Remember, of course, that these people have been fighting this battle. It's long time since they left the classroom,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, their leaders have changed several times. And it's like any student group, if you like, or ex-student group, a bit loose at the edges with a common theme. But the Wahhabi approach of the Saudis to Islam bears some resemblance, and there's a certain amount of alliance with the Wahhabi approach that was the Al-Qaeda approach to Islam, you know, the determination that to kill, what was it, the great beast that was the USA.
What colour was the beast? Grey.
Great.
Great.
Okay, great.
Great. And so by destroying the enemy, they will bring about a purging of society. Now, this, you see, if you consider the approach that the US used, of trying to strengthen a civilian society in Afghanistan. Unfortunately, what that's done now has put everybody who cooperated with that approach in great danger of their lives.
Mm.
Because this is the notion, and I mean, I think we're going to watch a pretty bloody few weeks in Afghanistan as they seek to take revenge on all the forces that have compromised it. The US and its friends will be evacuated doubtless from Kabul Airport. It'll be kept as long as possible open to take people out, although I fear that New Zealand hasn't done very well in leaving its translators in Kandahar because they've not got a show of getting out.
We got a timeline on this sort of prediction?
Well, I mean, I think the timeline's got extraordinarily compressed.
Right, wow, okay.
On Sunday morning, Kabul could fall within 3 months and just fallen by nightfall.
Mm.
So anybody's guess on timetables is very difficult. And I'm no analysis of the military context. I mean, I think it's very intriguing that some of the arms are coming from China. And that's intriguing, because you would imagine that the Taliban would be concerned about the Uyghurs in China, you know, who are the obvious case of an Islamic group that's being subjected to brutal treatment in China. But they're not. And I'm not sure why they're not, but I think in one way or another, the Taliban don't make friends with other Islamic approaches. You know, they tend to think
too staunch.
That if you're polemically different from us, we don't want to cooperate.
Do you think the West will step in, or do you think America has just washed their hands of this and they've pulled out now, so they're just going to leave Afghanistan?
There's no way that any Western country can go near the situation at the moment because there's now no hope of any allies. In fact, there'll simply be a great wave of refugees that will come to various Western countries.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most intriguing aspects of this whole story is the impact that it'll have on Pakistan, because Pakistan is the near neighbour of Afghanistan, with a moderate Islamic government, is facing enormous pressures within it anyway. And I think because the Peshan, which was where the original Taliban schools were, is right next door to Pakistan, then I think we're likely to see that influence spill over, as it already has, into Pakistan. So, you know, that's the challenge. One interesting aspect of the story, though, is that these are Sunni Muslims. These are not Shiite Muslims. And they similarly can't stand Shiites. And so we're likely to see very, very intense tensions between Afghanistan and Iran, which is another dimension of the story.
Wow, yet to unfold, so no doubt you'll keep us updated.
It's just very intriguing to think that Islam is not... It hasn't found a form that is kind of stable because it's got this strong aspiration for a return to the caliphate, a return to, you know, a bigger expression of Islam. And will these revolutionary movements, in fact, be the future shape of Islam? But you see, the last time that happened, which was, remember, when the states around the northern part of Africa and Syria and etc. Staged popular Islamic movements against the military governments. They've now effectively all collapsed. So will the Taliban find actually running Afghanistan may in fact be the only way that the Taliban enters the kind of ordinary world of states and state governments?
It's going to be incredibly hard for them with such an oppressive regime operating in, you know, the area. It must be so hard for all the women that are subjected to very conservative yes. rules and beliefs.
Yes, I don't know whether you heard there was this curious statement by the Taliban statement that we have a list of people. And it's that same, we've got a list, which is reminiscent of the French Revolution, where, in fact, Robespierre was always saying, we have a list of the enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, because he made the great mistake of not revealing who was on the latest list, everybody thought their names were honoured, mm-hmm. and they brought the terror, as it was called, to an end. So are we going to enter a period of the terror? It may be so, because in some ways, Taliban... if I understand Taliban interpretation of Islam, then Sharia is needed, a strong form of Sharia, to purify corrupted Afghan society.
Hmm.
So I wouldn't like to be a reporter in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I'm always... I just feel like a lot of it's... to what end as well? Like, there's this, always a nostalgic aspect to this, like, extreme following of stuff. And it's like, I think everyone's just kind of like hanging on these stories of how it's all going to be great, but you kind of are where you are, you know?
They're going to have to form a government of some description.
Yes.
And one of the hardest challenges is to bring guerrilla forces into a state of, you know, to run a civil society.
Mm.
And that will be the challenge. There was an intriguing report on Al Jazeera a moment ago of from the five-star hotel where the reporter was saying she just said hello to a Taliban person with a Kalashnikov over his shoulder, and it leaves you feeling a little bit bewildered about what is the world all around.
Mm.
Totally. Hard to comprehend. Hey, thank you so much, Peter. It's always a pleasure, mate. We'll catch you next Monday.
We'll look forward to it.
Bye-bye.